Where are we here? Turn that off, off, off. Okay.
Check one, check one.
Check.
You can even probably give me just a hair more unless I'm peeking out.
No, I think you're right.
Check. 2, 1, 2. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah, a little bit.
There. Yep. Check, check, check.
Hey, 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 1, 1, 1, 1.
Okay. We look about the same here, I think. And there we go.
Loverly.
Okay. Jack Peterson here. I'm here in the studio, not live, but almost live with Jeff Poole. Live on the scene, anyway.
I am live.
Okay. we are here just in the middle of the KRFY 10-year celebration, talking about the early days of the station. And dare I call you, Jeff, a founder of the radio station?
Yeah, founder. You may. I don't know if I'd call myself that. I think I was in the right spot at the right time for to be able to help a lot of folks out and get something accomplished that meant a lot to a lot of people.
It did and continues to mean a lot to a lot of people, I think. And we're gaining new listeners all the time, actually. Somebody just called up in the last hour before you and I sat down and said that they just moved to the area, found the station, and they love what we're doing. And asked for some reggae music, so we played some. We are here to talk a little bit about the early days of the station, which is when you were most heavily involved in the radio station. I know that going back to about 2006, late 2006, was when the very first meeting that I'm aware of happened to kind of discuss the possibility of something coming together that would eventually turn into KRFY Panhandle Community Radio. Were you there at that early stage? Were you there at the beginning?
I was not at the first meeting. Mm-hmm. I got roped into the second meeting there at iCards, and I was sad that I had missed the first one, but I had not heard about it. I think it was pretty impromptu, if I might say, as a lot of things at the C-Bar ended up being.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if it was a true, I mean, was it a meeting or was it just people happened to be together and started talking about
it? Yeah, so it was a community discussion for quite a while. You know, Scott and several other people were always talking about, oh man, we really need this type of thing happening in Sandpoint.
Yeah.
You know, we need an outlet for folks to be able to provide and create their own content that suits them. And so Scott had thought about that for quite a while and was just gauging interest all over the place. His children and my son went to the same school, so that's how I ran into him. I actually ran into him as he was walking out the post office one day, just kind of in this state, and I run into him and he's like, Jeff, you gotta help us out. I'm like, what are you, you know, so it kind of expanded from there.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Scott Daly is no longer with us, but I am curious kind of where the idea, his is the name I think that comes up most frequently when you hear about that early energy, kind of the drive to put it together for real.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you have any insight into where he got the idea. Did he come from, did he have any kind of radio background or anything, or just?
Oh no, but that's Scott was the type of person who was, he would see a need, and he would do his best to fulfill that need.
Yeah.
And he generally put 115% into that effort.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's the one who kind of spearheaded everything and took it on once he got, you know, several people to commit to, you know, being a part of it. Mm-hmm. He ended up getting quite a bit of the early information about what it takes to put a radio station together. And once we had talked to an engineer, once we had talked to a lawyer and a few other folks who had been in the industry or were in the industry, once we kind of gave some assignments out, you know, technical, bookkeeping, things of that nature, then Scott was, he was pretty much the spearhead of that and just doing a lot of the legwork, of course. Mm-hmm. So he's responsible in that respect.
Yeah. Was, Is it true that I have heard it said that the original discussion was, who cares about the rules? Let's do it. And there was talk of putting like a pirate radio station on the air before the idea of going through the FCC and doing it the right, you know, the quote unquote right way.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny conversations like that. However, again, given the folks involved, we were willing to do whatever it took to be able to provide, you know, certain content to, but it was more being able to allow community members to have a space to come in and provide content, you know. So, and this was a little pre-podcast days, so you know, it was all about getting somebody into the station and having a sense of what you wanted to do for a show. But if you've got something to share, here's the place to do it. We're going to provide you the tools with which to share that content.
Yeah. We are, it came about at the right time because it turned out that there was an opening for full power FM radio stations to brand, you know, new FM radio stations. Because this state, there was, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was nothing on 88.5 FM before. We didn't take over from a previously
correct.
Existing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was that happens every once in a great while. The FCC will say, okay, you can actually start a new station, new frequency, new call letters. It doesn't happen like every year or anything. I don't even think it's on a schedule, as far
as
I know.
There are windows of opportunity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the time that we were looking at it, and this is kind of where it's there. Yeah, sure, there was talk of pirate radio, et cetera, and other alternative ways with which to provide access for people to provide content. But this window, you know, again, Scott was monitoring the situation where, you know, it looked like the FCC was going to just trash previous applications because they were so backlogged and they needed a way to, you know, kind of clear the decks and allow for more applications. And Scott got wind of this, and that's when he got a hold of an engineer down in Portland who told him, here are the steps for you to consider opening a public access radio station and getting here's what it's going to take to get your license from the FCC, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. So he kind of listed out the steps, and at that point we're all looking at going, well, you know, this is something that we can accomplish if we put our mind to it and get the right people behind it.
So. Yeah. Who was the in charge of like the legal effort? Just because I'm having dealt a little bit with the FCC now, I'm like, boy, I need a either a law degree or something else to just to wade through the stacks of paperwork.
That's why we pay Melody if she's still on the payroll. That's why we pay them back there. Actually, that's part of what I took over, not because I'm a legal mind or anything, but it was just part of the, you know, here's the paperwork, the applications, who's going to fill out the applications. And Mandy Rukavina and I and several other people just dug into that. There were tons of, you know, you needed to do a story about this, you needed to do a paragraph about, you know, I'm sure plenty of people have done plenty of nonprofit applications where it's just like, you've really got to explain what your timeline is, where you're going to get those finances from, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So really, for a lot of us, this is one of the biggest applications. And Scott had been involved in plenty of nonprofit work prior to starting the station. So he was able to give us a lot of leadership in knowing, you know, Jeff, you should probably take care of this. Kelly, you should take care of this. Barry, you know. So that's kind of how that whole process of somebody getting a certain assignment was started.
Yeah. You just mentioned some names that I think we should probably highlight. Kelly being Kelly McTavish, Barry being Barry Barish, and who else did you say there?
Mandy Rukavina was on there. I mean, I can start going down the list, but I know I'd forget something. Ryan Geese was in charge of our IT technical stuff. Kelly and Barry were doing a lot of the programming ideas and work, and Kelly was doing a lot of recording of the bumpers and you know, just kind of filling in where necessary. You know, we had a lot of help, getting the studio set up. Maddie coming in later, David Marks, James and Megan Cherry, just tons of people who helped out over the years. Again, just having that core group of people who could meet, you know, we were meeting once a week there for a long, long time prior to getting the station up and running, just because there really was a lot to do, whether it's the applications or doing a remodel up here, et cetera, et cetera.
So. Was this always where the station was going to be here? This physical location, the studio, was it always here?
Well, that was, early on, Scott had co-opted Charlie Parrish from Evergreen Realty. Charlie's always been our benevolent overlord here. And we just, there's really no way to thank him enough for his ability to provide a space for us. But he offered it up in this pretty much was where it was always going to be.
It's having been in some other community radio stations, it like toured a few places. We're lucky that when KRFY went on the air, it was possible to do it all digitally, pretty much, because our equipment is pretty slim, I guess. I mean, physically slim, doesn't take up a lot of space. And that is kind of a rarity, because if you go to some of the older community radio stations, here's equipment room A, and then there's equipment room B and equipment room C, and then down in the basement is where there's, you know, all the backup equipment, and like we just don't have that kind of space. So but we're able to broadcast 24/7 anyway.
Well, that was one of the things that was really important. And I think Kelly's the one who spearheaded this whole effort. It's just like, first of all, you got to make it easy for a first timer with a, you know, 30 minute talk through to be able to operate the machines. And, you know, you walk into banks of equipment, you're already intimidated. But if you show somebody, okay, talk into the mic and push this up. And we're on the air. So things like that, things like being able to get a space where four or five people can get, used to be able to get into a room together and hash out a good panel show, you know. We just wanted to provide a nice space that felt comfortable for people to get into and sounded good, too. I was telling Jack when I make my drive in the morning and listen to the morning show. Everything sounds great. I'm just so pleased at the way the quality of the broadcast has been maintained over the years. It's awesome.
Yeah. Were you around when this became the Tiki Room?
I believe, take credit for the Tiki Room name. So, yeah. We found some material and put it up, knowing that just anything we put up on a glass wall is going to do a lot better.
Yeah.
So we found the, what do you call this? Well, it's tiki fabric, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
Tiki room.
Yeah. It makes the room sound a lot better, but it also, you feel like we should have whatever, you know, the Hawaiian flowers hanging from the ceiling or something like that, because it does look like
Mai Tais.
So, that too, anything to make it warmer. We are let's see here, I'm in conversation, by the way, with Jeff Poole, Jack Peterson here. We are still way back kind of at the beginning, but let me see if I can skip ahead to some other like important dates. So originally it was Sandpoint Community Radio. You guys went through we still go through rent tower space from Blue Sky Broadcasting. So the physical space in both senses, the studio and the tower, hasn't really changed since we went on the air, I think. Is that correct?
Yep.
No big changes?
Nope. Not as far as I know. I believe a couple of years... Well, I do know that there have been some upgrades to the radio signal that shoots line of sight now over to the tower, right? We were all online.
We changed our service provider, and we have a backup service provider now. This is kind of, I don't know how interesting this will be to other people. We are still sort of at the mercy of wind, weather, and et cetera, because we don't have a clear line of sight directly to the tower. Yeah. That would be great to get, but I think you're the one who did the first research into that, and it's easy.
I think I know the tree.
But, yeah, it's a tree, exactly. We can't quite get there.
Can't quite get the tree. And that's all right, you know. Yeah. And that's one of the quirks, you know, going through the process of getting people to support the station early on when we didn't have a track record. It's like, these are the types of things that we know about, but they're going to be quirks. We're using microwaves. Well, microwaves do this when there's nasty weather and that. And there's this is just the way it's going to be, and you know, until you can get the multi-million-dollar satellite system in here, which is not that. That's never what we intended. Again, make it lean. Make it if something does happen and you have a problem with signal, fix it. And move on, get some alternative broadcasting on there or something like that. So, you know, that we had always hoped to be able to provide that sort of service.
It was originally Sandpoint Community Radio. It changed at some point. The legal name changed to Panhandle Community Radio, which I like because we're the towers in Ponderay. So,
well, actually, it might be that we had originally intended to broadcast from this location, put the tower up there. But I think it was determined that based on our application to the FCC, it didn't meet some qualification or guidelines. So,
yeah,
we had to move it.
Let's see here.
In response to the Panhandle Community Radio, yeah, there was always talk of you know, we do want to make sure that people understand this is a regional broadcast. I've heard us on my way down to Lewiston, it through to Plummer, in fact.
And, wow.
And get on one of those rises.
Yeah,
you can still get that.
I've noticed it comes in and out sometimes, depending on geography.
And up north to the border and beyond. I've listened to it up in just on in Creston. So, you know, it's a regional broadcast. So I want people to know that.
Yeah. The date I have here is January 25th, 2011, for the first actual live broadcast. Does that sound about right?
Well, it's possible. We had done quite a bit of testing before, you know, going live. So I'm not sure if that date is when we started testing and actually broadcast something over the airwaves, or we actually, you know, told people we are live.
They exist. Yeah. Do you remember anything about those? That last little period leading up to, okay, KRFY is here.
I was doing a lot of hours just trying to prepare content. We had 24 hours a day, theoretically, to film.
Yeah.
And how were we going to do that? So we were cramming on getting a music library together. People were donating their time and energy to, you know, burn their CDs or just give us CDs to use for playback and other material. Scott and I were working on the program schedule, trying to nail down exactly you know, what shows we were going to provide, when we were going to broadcast them. So it was all hands on deck at that point, making sure the studio was done and wired correctly. And, you know, we got when we and I don't remember the days dates for this, but it was rather quick when we got the approval understood that we were going to be able to broadcast. And there were some little things that we had to figure out and complete on the application. But we pretty much knew at that point, and we were given permission to do testing. So that's pretty much, I believe that happened in the fall of 2010. That seems about right. So like I say, this 2011 date. It might be close. Mm-hmm. And honestly, again, you ask if we remember. There was a lot going on at the time. I know I got my son Max involved in a couple of things here, so I got him behind the mic, and he did a couple of the bumpers and intros and things like that, and that's always been fun to hear over the years. We did a couple of when I was actually providing some content of my own. We had Otto's Eclectic Mix on a show that I was doing, you know, like somebody's top 10 or something like that. And so I would cut together a show with Otto and use that computer voice, and it was pretty silly. and at some point, Jim probably decided let's probably just move on to something else. But, you know, stuff like that. Just creating content, making sure that we can fill a day. And if not, you know, how are we going to go off the air, come back on the air, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So that's kind of the early days. You were holding the station together at one point. Your name comes up as basically, you know, you were the probably under stress and duress. You were the one who was really got it through kind of its leanest period or toughest period, I think.
Well, it was just starting out and again, mm-hmm. trying to, you know how it is trying mm-hmm. to get people in to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody who wants to do it may not know that it's available.
Yeah.
Right. So gaining new listeners also mm-hmm. means gaining new presenters. So it was just a real challenge to get people to understand that, yeah, I love all the ideas you want, you know, play more of this, play more of that, but I need you to come in and do it.
Yeah.
Sort of situation. So, myself and Scott and Barry, it really, really was a collective group of people who were providing a lot of that energy and hours in keeping the thing going for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, it made it through somehow. We ended up getting
yeah.
I think that there was a lot of excitement you know before the launch, and then it launched, and then it's not just a fun idea anymore, then it's real, and then you got to, you know, make it actually happen and keep happening.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. And the stress and the duress really showed on my wife, who at one point just turned to me and said, okay, it's time for you to do something else.
Yeah.
And I hated to move on like that just because I was, I felt like I was in my element, but I totally understood, mm-hmm. As did everyone when I announced that I just was unable to continue in that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very heartening to see that show of support and the community support. You know, when we were looking for people to step up, it wasn't just me that was needing assistance, but the rest of the studio as well.
Yeah.
So having everybody step in and seeing the mutations from group to group to group come through, and getting a solid foundation on getting a radio program up on the air on a daily or weekly basis, here's what it takes. And I think everybody who's stepped up has just been one of my heroes just for keeping this thing going. And it's just so gratifying to see something that we all worked very hard on to begin with, but for one reason or another, just we're unable to continue that effort. Just see it continue in a community fashion the way it's, I think, Scott and the rest of us saw in the beginning.
Yeah. It is something that continues to need, it always needs new, you know, people come and go. We always do need support from new members who can donate to the station, because it does take some financial resources to keep us on the air, but also new volunteers, like you mentioned. I mean, it feels like right now we have a pretty good base of volunteers, but then we have a volunteer who's going to be moving away. And then, you know, if maybe one other volunteer moves away, suddenly it's like, oh, where did everybody go? It's, you know, then it really does start to feel kind of lonely, or like, you know, like the existing volunteers are having to do more and more to just to keep things afloat and keep things fresh on the airwaves. So If you're interested in becoming a volunteer, www.krfy.org or 265-2992 in the 208 area code.
Well, I'll do my pitch as well, and especially for those folks who are new to the area and are just now discovering us, I got to say, it's a brilliant family to be a part of, and just Sandpoint in general, but the community radio family in particular. It's a real joy to hear the morning shows, get all the community news and events and local calendars, just everything that the radio station provides. And if you ever felt like that was something that you might want to be a part of, I can heartily recommend spending a few hours down here and the gratification that you will receive through that community service, I'm sure will be manifold in the time that you put into it.
Well, gosh, thank you, Jeff.
Well, thank you.
I'm happy to be here. We're still having fun. Still enjoying it, but like, you know, it is kind of a little bit of work too, but it's a labor of love. Hey, I'm just scanning the notes here to see if there's anything else I needed to ask you about. Anything else that only you would be, any other questions only you would be able to answer.
Well, if I were doing the Twitter or the Facebook thing, I'd tell you to send me your questions, but I don't. So, you know, really, the mystery behind my involvement is just I saw something that I felt like it was a really cool idea, and I like cool ideas, and I have some production background, and I felt like I could participate and make a difference in the effort. And it's just so heartening to see that other people agreed with me in my vision of what could happen down here, and that's really cool. I want to thank Charlie and the gang downstairs, you and Susie, who've just put so much effort in, and all the other volunteers here. It's great to be back in the Tiki Room, and now that I'm getting a lump in my voice, I'm going to sign off.
Okay.
Thank you so much, and please give us a call and volunteer or become a member today.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. We're going to go back to live content right now in the studio, so do stay tuned for that. I will say one last thing to Jeff, that we are more than happy to keep up the effort that he was instrumental in getting started, and we look forward to the day, maybe when the schedule clears completely and the clouds part, when you get to hear Jeff Poole live on the radio more regularly.
Careful again. What you ask for, okay. Mister.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff. This is 88.5 KRFY. That was Jeff Poole. I'm Jack Peterson, and back to you.